Good morning. How y'all doing today? All right. That scripture reading this morning is going to be from Proverbs, the 11th chapter, verses 24 through 31. And if you want to follow along on your pew Bible, it'll be on page 497. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He refreshes others, will himself be refreshed. People curse the man who hoards grain, but blessing crowns him who is willing to sell. He who seeks good finds goodwill, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. He who brings trouble on his family will inherit only wind. And the fool will be servant to the wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. If the righteous receive their due on earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? This is the word of God given to the people of God. Praise be to God.
So I think these words found in the book of Proverbs are powerful. They're striking. And I even think that the first verse that we read, Proverbs 11, verse 24, is even a bit of a paradox. How do we understand that if somebody gives more, that they have more, and somebody that holds back has less? How does that make sense? How does that work? And I want us to ponder that in your mind. So I want you right now to kind of put that behind you on the shelf and think about that. Because we're going to talk about that in just a little while. We're going to get to it. But I want you to think about that question. How does someone who gives more, how do they have more than someone who withholds and holds back? And so it makes me think about some important questions. As Rachel had mentioned in our children's message, my message is going to be about generosity. And so I think that we need to look at a couple of things. I think, first of all, we need to look at just what is generosity and why does God call us to be generous? And so something I often like to do when I talk about a topic such as generosity and think about that word, I like to look at the dictionary and what it says. And it's fascinating to me when I look at the word generosity in the dictionary. Because there are, in fact, two parts to the definition of generosity. I don't know if you knew this, but there are two parts to it. And the first one is this. The first part of the definition is a readiness or a liberality in giving. A readiness or a liberality in giving. That's the first part of the definition. That's pretty obvious. That's the outward expression of generosity, is that we give. Whether that be of our time, whether it be of our talents, whether it be of our resources, giving is about an outward expression. It's us giving to someone else something that we possess so that they would possess it or be able to use it. The second part, I think, is the fascinating part of the definition because it says this. The second part of the definition, this comes from the dictionary, is freedom from meanness or smallness of mind and character. I didn't really know meanness was a word, but it really is. Meanness or smallness, freedom from meanness or smallness of mind and character. And so we recognize that the first part of the definition of giving is about the outward expression, what we do, the verbiage, the verbal part of it. But the second part of it is who we are on the inside. So a giving person is a kind person. A giving person is someone who recognizes the blessings that come from giving. They recognize the broader picture of what it means to be generous. That if we are generous to others, then more often than not, people are generous to us. And so it's interesting that the definition of generosity is about not only the outward expression of it, the verb, but it's also about who we are on the inside. That we are to be generous people. And so then I think it leads us to the next question. Why does God call us to be generous? What's important about generosity that God expresses in many ways throughout the Bible that we are called to be generous people? And so I think to understand this definition, I think that we need to go to the very beginning of the Bible. We need to go to the book of Genesis to recognize the generosity of God. That at the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. God created everything from the blades of grass to the flowers of the field to the animals that walk the earth to the birds of the air. God created it all. And there was no particular reason that God needed to create anything. But God created everything, including humanity, purely out of love. Creation was an act of giving, an act of generosity, an act of love. And so God gave everything that he created to the stewardship of Adam and Eve. And so in Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 through 30, God tells Adam and Eve this. He says, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And so God gave Adam and Eve everything in creation as their resource. That they were to be able to use the flowers of the field, the animals, the plants, everything were theirs to use, to eat, to sustain themselves. Every necessity was provided for. That was God's extravagant generosity. They had everything that they needed in the Garden of Eden. They lacked for nothing. They didn't even have to work for anything. But God gave them one stipulation. He said that you cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything else is yours that is free to possess. And so even God had to put limits to generosity. Even God had to have stipulations, because without stipulations, there is no free will. There is no choice. But secondly, also, without stipulations to generosity, you can be spoiled, you can be taken advantage of. And God knew that. But then, even though Adam and Eve had everything that they could ever want, they were tempted by that serpent and by Satan. And so they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. They had to work and toil for everything. And so now, from then on, after original sin has entered the world, then resources are scarce. People have to work for what they have. Original sin stain the world. There was a steep price for overstepping the generosity of God. That Adam and Eve had everything that they could ever want, but yet it still wasn't enough. How fascinating is that? But although Adam and Eve messed it up, God still gave promises of generosity time and time again in the Bible. And it makes me think about God's promise to Abram, who later became Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says this: "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you." And so God kept his promise, that the people of Israel did get to experience the promised land. That it is through the seed and the lineage of Abraham that Jesus Christ is born into the world and he dies a sinner's death to give us the gift of eternal life for you and for me. And so we live into that heritage, that we are the ones who continue to hold on to the promise of Abraham, that we are blessed by God, that because Jesus died on the cross, then we are redeemed. We all have a share in the kingdom. It's such an incredible thing, an extravagant act of generosity that from the beginning of Abraham, God has kept his promise to us that we have a share in his kingdom. And it's such an incredible and important thing to realize that God's acts of generosity linger on and on and on and on. And so that's what I want us to think about when it comes to generosity, is that one generous act from us can linger on and on and on and on. It can bless people on and on and on and on. And so I want you to take a look at this picture, because I think that this picture is the perfect expression of generosity. I love this image when it comes to generosity. I want you to think about a still pond, a still body of water. In a still body of water, everything looks stagnant. There's nothing moving. But if you take a stone and you drop it in a stagnant body of water, it creates ripples throughout the whole pond, doesn't it? That one stone creates a ripple throughout the whole pond and spreads and spreads and spreads. And so I think that's how generosity works in our world and in God's economy. That when we bless one person, when we do one act of kindness, one act of generosity, that one act lingers on and on and on and on. Pretty amazing to think about, isn't it? And so Jesus understands this about us. And he understands the power of generosity. And so there are certain provisions that God makes in the Bible to help us to understand the importance of generosity. Jesus said, and these words reign true, unfortunately, that the poor do live and dwell among us, and they need our help. They need us to provide a helping hand. And Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Luke that to whom much is given, much is expected. So for those of us who have much, we have been called by God to share, to give to those less fortunate than ourselves. And it makes me think about that provision that God makes in Leviticus for the poor. In chapter 19, verses 9 through 10, that says this. It says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God." And so in the Bible, God creates provisions for generosity. That the farmers, when they harvest their field, they're supposed to leave some grain for those who can't afford it so they can go and pick it up. And so those who labor in the vineyards, when the grapes fall to the ground, they're not to pick them up, but yet they're to leave them so that those who are poor and cannot afford them can pick them up and use them. Generosity is a powerful and important force. It's something that helps to make the world go round. It makes the world a better place. That God has ordained for us to be generous throughout his word. And we're called to do that time and time and time again. And so in Luke chapter 6, verses 37 through 38, there's something powerful that I think Jesus said here that really helps us to understand generosity in a way I think no other verse can. Luke 6, verse 37 through 38 says, "Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." To put it in simpler terms that are easier to understand, what you give is what you get. When it comes to generosity in this world, and also in the kingdom of God, it reigns true, what you give is what you get. So I think that harkens back to this passage in Proverbs. Proverbs is one of my favorite books of the Bible for a lot of reasons. One of the main reasons that Proverbs is such a special book to me is that you can get a whole lot of wisdom out of one verse, can't you? There's a lot packed into each and every one of those verses. That there's advice here from everything to relationships, to moral advice, to how the world works and more. The Proverbs are full of wisdom like this. And so these particular passages I'm sharing with you today are all about generosity and God's economy when it comes to generosity. And so Proverbs 11, verse 24, we're going to go back to that now. It says, "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty." Let me read that one more time because it's important. "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. And so the more you give, the more you get. The more you hoard, the more you isolate. The more you turn people away, the more you sever friendships. The way that we connect with people is through our generosity, through our kindness, through our love. And so when we give, our world becomes bigger. Our friendships become greater. Our relationships become stronger. And so verse 25 reinforces this. It says, "A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." Isn't that powerful? A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will also be refreshed. Verse 26 speaks of this even more. It says, "People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell." And so in ancient cultures, what this meant was that people who were able to hold the stores of grain, these farmers that had these great farms and were able to feed very many people in their community, if they held back their grain, they could hold it back in such a way that there would be shortage and they could increase the price. And then when they saw that the price was high enough for them, then they would release it and sell it because the price was inflated because they withheld it. But as a result of that, people would know. People in the ancient world weren't dumb, and so they would realize that this person was withholding their grain to raise the price, and so they would become the scorn of their community as a result. I've always found time and time again that greediness always finds us out, doesn't it? When we hoard things, when we hold back from people, when we hold back from God, it always seems to find us out. Verse 27 says, "Whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to the one who searches for it." That we should be good for goodness sakes. We should be good because God calls us to be good, not because of an outward appearance, not because we want everybody to be impressed by how generous and kind we are, that people can see through that, can't they? And that's what this proverb is talking about. Verse 28 and 29 says, "Those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Whoever brings ruin to their family will inherit only the wind, and the fool will be the servant to the wise." That the wise understands Proverbs 11, verse 24, that the more you give, the more you're blessed, and the more you hoard, the more you isolate and disconnect from people. And lastly, our passage says this: "The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. If the righteous receive their due on earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner?" The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. The fruit of the generous is life and happiness and joy, love and thanksgiving. What a powerful thing that generosity blesses us 10 times more than we could ever imagine. But it's just that we have to be brave enough, that we have to be bold enough to be willing to be generous to others. And so I think that this church has done an amazing job of expressing extravagant generosity. Just last week, we celebrated that our golf tournament raised $15,000 for the Home of Hope. And from what I've told, this church just this year alone has raised close to $50,000 for the Home of Hope. Changed lives. And so I think it harkens back to this ripple effect, that we understand this truth, that our act of extravagant generosity will go to bless others time and time, time again. That because of our generosity, there are women who will come to that place that will get to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are women who will come to that place and have their lives transformed. That they'll be able to live a sober life. Be able to live a life in which they're honoring God. A life in which their children can be raised in the knowledge and love of Jesus. And to break the chains and the damage of the cycles of addiction. Think about how our one act of generosity creates ripple effects for that woman, for that family, for our community, for the world. One act of generosity has ripples that go and go and go for a lifetime. Think about the generosity that's been expressed in Texas and Florida and Puerto Rico. People have given millions of dollars, that so much blood had been donated in Las Vegas that people were actually turned away as a result of that. But these acts of love and generosity have ripple effects that go and go and go and go. That love shines through. That joy shines through. That thanksgiving and blessing shine through when we are generous. Because I want to share with you today that churches are built on generosity. The tithes and offerings that we give operate this church, and they allow us to be able to do the mission work, to go out into the world, to bless Bridgeville and our nation and our world. No one makes you give. No one forces you to put anything in that plate, but you do it because of the kindness and the goodness of your heart. So church, let us give our best. Let us give our first fruits. Let us give the best of what we have, because that's what God expects of us. The Bible tells us that the measure that we give is the measure that we get. Let us give the full measure, knowing that we will bless others and that we will be blessed more than we can ever imagine. The Bible tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. So let us give of our time. Let us give of our talents. Let us give of our resources. Because God tells us that He will bless us more than we can ever imagine. So let our hearts be open and let our joy be expressed as we share with others the extravagant generosity of God. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, you have given us more than we can ever imagine. Oh Lord God, in the same way that you clothe the flowers of the field, in the same way that you feed the birds of the air, how much more, O Lord God, do you provide for us? And so, Heavenly Father, help us to continue to have hearts of generosity, knowing that those who give will be blessed more and more and more and more. Lord, help us to know that whatever we give to you, O God, is not returned void, that it creates ripple effects in our community and in our world that'll last a lifetime. It's in Jesus' precious name that we all pray. Amen.